T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
105.3 FM, HD2. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show here on WWL Radio, 105.2 FM.
Nope,
105.3, excuse me. And it's time for the second course of our show, and it's the way we do this is we ask you to tell us anything that you've eaten and that you thought was really good, or if you went out somewhere to dine out and you didn't like it, you can report to us on that, or you can just call us up and we'll shoot the breeze forward and back and find out some new places to go that we haven't been to before, and maybe some that we have tried somewhere but we haven't.
The pork rinds and the chicken salad that are really
still
good.
Here too.
The pork rinds are really good with the chicken salad.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Hey, Doug, is Pete on the phone?
Pete.
No one is on the phone. Okay.
Pete Kusi
yes.
is going to be with us.
I'm going to text him and remind him to call us.
He's a chef around Mandeville area.
He's been around a lot of places.
Has been around. You know, the first thing I ever remember him doing was a bar. Remember that? No, it was actually a coffee bar.
It was
bar.
A coffee place.
Coffee bar right off of the slashing waves of water coming in from the various storms that we get around here. But no big deal. It's we'd love to talk with you about that. And also, I
want to talk about bacon. I'm a bacon lover.
Bacon.
Are you a bacon lover? Today's National Bacon Lovers Day.
Yeah,
we never did talk about how much we love bacon other than in pork rinds.
Okay. It's the one thing we do know about bacon, though, is that some of it is better than other parts.
Some bacon is better than other bacon.
Some bacons are better
than
others.
Are you a thick bacon person or a thin bacon person?
Usually thick, but I don't like it too thick, and the same is true of the thin product.
I like thick pepper bacon.
Thick pepper bacon.
Stiffly done.
Stiffly done. Wait a minute. What does that mean?
That means if it's thick and thick. To me, a slice of bacon should stand straight. He is. It should stand straight. It shouldn't be limp, and the fat should be pretty much cooked through. Pete is on the phone.
Hey, how you know that?
Hey,
because he's here. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing?
Doing great. It was good to see you about 3 weeks ago when we were in for the cookout.
Buffet.
No, the buffet. it looks like you have control of that pretty much down.
Pete, you made us a delicious bouillabaisse that day. It was absolutely fabulous.
Oh,
or was it
was
Chipino?
Good.
I can't tell the difference.
Well, it's close, you know. I mean, I make it Chipino style, but I call it a bouillabaisse, but it's pretty close. And I mean, Italian, French. I mean,
do you have that on the menu every night at Lake House?
Yeah, that's on the menu every night.
It's delicious.
I add some saffron rice to it and some, you know, croutons, a little bit of lobster.
Right, so,
it's a little bit different.
So where did, I mean, Tom's probably run into you before
again
I did.
Again and again and again.
Before
how
I did.
Many years,
but
many
I think
times.
That I got familiar with you at Juniper, but your career period and in town goes on a lot longer than that. So why don't you take us through the trajectory of your career in general, but also in New Orleans?
Well, it's also interesting. You know, I started out, I was born and raised in Cape May, New Jersey. And then I went to Johnson & Wales University.
Oh, so you've done the major league spread for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a real chef, in other words.
yeah. But I also worked at, I went to Johnson & Wales because my dad, you know, he came up, my stepfather was Puerto Rico. And my mother was a career waitress, and they owned the restaurant for years and years up in New Jersey. And it was always like, you know, a town where, you know, you had 10 weeks to make your money in the summertime. It was a resort town, you know. So you go other places
around.
You go other places in the wintertime. So I would go, I would go to Disney World, you know, after I graduated from Johns Wells, work at Disney World. And then I started coming down here to Louisiana, worked at Chris's place for a little while, worked at Andrea's. Then I finally got, I was supposed to come down, Jamie Shannon, he used to be a chef at Commander's Palace.
Oh, he sure. He was famous.
Yeah, he was up at, he was at Trump. And
he was at Trump.
I worked at Trump.
You worked there with
sure
him,
he was
too,
a Trump
didn't
you? Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Trump Plaza, like I said, he worked for Donald Trump, so he's my old boss, so that's kind of weird. But I came down here, and I started working at Bee Shacks. That's how I met y'all, you know, because I didn't want to work. I just came from, like, multi-million-dollar businesses to where, you know, it was multi-food. You know, you can imagine Disney World working there at the Magic Kingdom and stuff like that, and you can imagine working at Commander's Palace with all the, you know.
I would imagine working at Disney World would be stultifyingly boring for someone coming from Johnson and Wales.
Yeah, I'm sure of that, too.
It's soup to nuts at Disney World. They have, like, five-star restaurants there, four-star. It just depends on what your niche is, you know, your niche. But it was a fun time, man. You know, it's a good start to corporate. I was a corporate chef in my younger years. And then I started working at Bee Shacks, and that's why I met Tom and I met you guys. You guys used to come in. I met all the old line chefs. You guys used to come in for, like, dinner and stuff like that. I think your kids were like babies back then, man.
So they were yours.
Young,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I mean...
So then after Bee Shacks, then where'd you go?
I went to English Turn for 3 years.
No kidding.
I was a chef over there. Yeah, at English Turn. I was a sous chef under Leo Hirsch.
Would they let you play golf?
Yeah, that
was
a nice
golfer
trade out there. No. But I mean, I like playing golf. But it was interesting because you had the golf tournament every year, you know, and that was a big time deal back with the USF&G, I guess, or Freeport MacMoran. You know, now they got it over at, you know, down the way at West Wego. But that was fun, and I went back to Bee Shacks, and that's when I was working at Bee Shacks the second time. I got friendly with a person that had a coffee shop. She owned a coffee shop right down the street on the lakefront, and it was called Cafe Grotto, but I remember it was Java Grotto, so I bought it from her. So I started doing that, doing the coffee shop and still working at Bee Shacks. And then I met my wife at the time, who owned the warehouse bar down the street. So we got together, and then we finally said, let's open up our own restaurant. And we opened up Juniper. Yeah, so it was really good times.
So Juniper started in the old, what is now McLean's Pizza, right?
Yeah, that was the old Cypress building at the time.
Tom, do you remember Cypress?
I do. You know,
Mike and Gail Pear?
There were like two or three of them in the whole country, and one of them was here.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering the story correctly.
That is correct, yeah.
They're in Alabama now.
Yeah, I think they're actually in, they got Bijou Bistro over in Sandestin, down that way.
Well, they started, what was the name of the place? The place that they had on the lakefront that was really, really cute.
That was Zazoo.
Zazoo, yeah. That was like in the early 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had Zazoo. And that's way back. That's John Bottom was the chef back then. I think John Bottom. Chef John Bonham, he was a chef back then with my parents.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Is that building still there, or did they tear it down, or did a hurricane bring it down?
I think the hurricane brought it down. It brought down a lot of places, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was several other places, Confetti's. I know Louie had it for a little while, the Redhead Lady, those guys.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about them.
The Cartiers actually owned the building, and they tried to, you know, they put Cartiers in there for a little while. But that didn't last. But
I don't even know that place. So then you moved to Juniper, and that's when you really kind of came into being known.
Came into the limelight, yeah. And you know what, man? I appreciate Tom, and I appreciate all the old line chefs so much around here, because I remember being a kid, and I told you about this before, being on watching Great Chefs in New Orleans on Channel 12. And, you know, a 13-year-old kid watching that sounds kind of weird, but, I mean – it was definitely an impression on me, you know, seeing all these chefs doing all this good food, man, and moving down here from New Jersey and grabbing
Didn't
the style.
Did you ride in on a
chefs.
Bike with Jamie Shannon?
No, but we did do some stuff together. But yeah, he was originally from Ocean City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I still talk to the old chefs nowadays. I mean, it's amazing because, you know, being a chef and keeping with the old line traditions and the old line food, people still love that. I mean, there's a lot of new chefs around here that try to make different foods and I still like the old line stuff, man. I stick with it.
Me too.
Like wholeheartedly.
And that's something I follow pretty assiduously. And I'm always getting the same message from other diners. You know, they said, why don't they, you know, why are they serving this
Zatar.
Hoghead cheese topped with foie gras? You know?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any
like
sense at all.
Yeah.
And little by little, it has become pretty good.
So, Pete.
Well, you know, I mean,
go ahead.
That's the issue, man. I mean, you got to, like, I guess you, the younger people that grow up, the younger chefs, you deal with that. And if they make good dishes, that's what creates tradition.
Yeah.
I forget the chef. He had a show on WWL on Sunday mornings. I thought everybody loved. And I was doing some radio shows with him. And he talked about the old line chefs that the recipes are gone because they never wrote down the recipes, like grandmoms and the old
That's
line
a
chefs
problem.
Never wrote
yeah.
down the recipes, and they disappeared.
Yeah,
they're
You're
gone.
You talking about Chef you know? Buster?
Yeah, Buster. Yeah, Ambrosia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really cool chef, by the way. Really cool chef.
Wasn't he the first chef of Mr. B's? Was it?
I think
was
he
Buster?
Was. Man, I remember Gerard being there.
Yeah.
Chef Gerard.
I think That's, Buster opened it though. I think he did.
He may have. I've done some stuff. And, you know, the other thing I'm proud of, too, is, like, I have a busboy when I had Juniper. He's a chef over at the W now, like, in the main room. And he was a busboy. And he worked at Commander's Palace and worked his way up. And I have the chef I was talking about, Bijou, with the pears. He was a kid that was a busboy, too, and now he's the executive chef there. So if you stick with your guns and stick with the good food, it makes a pressure on these younger chefs as well. They will never forget that, you know.
No, and they never will, and they stick with it.
Traditions are traditions for a reason.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, that's why they stay around.
Well, right, it sounds like you've got your program going pretty well. And,
all right, so how crazy is your life now that you're working for Cayman?
Oh, it is crazy. I mean, I did food catering for like 6 years, and that's 18 hours a day doing major movies, major, we just got back from we did the NFL draft this year, which was huge.
You did the Rolling Stones didn't you?
We did the Rolling Stones. Yeah. Flooded. I got to get you on my Facebook to see some of those pictures, but it flooded. We went through that hurricane. But the cool thing about it is, Cayman let me go back to the restaurant because if you think about this, man, the Lake House has been there for years. It was Beef Shack's, and we brought the business back, you know, and that's all I want. I want
the,
people
the
to
Lake
come
House
and
has
get
been
food.
There for centuries, hasn't it? It's mm-hmm. been it's over 100 years old, isn't it?
Yeah,
1860s. Yeah.
I remember having dinner one night with Mr. Beef Shack. I'm trying to remember his name.
Dennis. Is it Dennis?
Dennis? Yeah.
Dennis Bichette?
There's two of them. There's Dennis Jr. and Dennis Sr.
Anyway, we got to talking about just old-time stuff going back a long way because, you know, the North Shore, and especially around where Bichette's was, this goes back to the 1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long history there. It was always fun talking to him. But one day he was talking about how things went 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. He says, guess what my phone number was when my father first got his first telephone? I said, I give up. What? He said, it was 4.
4. Yeah.
That's his phone
there,
number. 4.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Mandeville was a sleepy little
zero,
place.
001.
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
So, all right, yeah. So what are you doing now that La Provence is part of the portfolio?
Well, we actually acquired that about a month ago, and we acquired that in the I talked to Cayman about it. We acquired that in the hopes and the dreams and the focus of making that a great restaurant again, with the part of putting hotel like rooms in there, like a bed and breakfast style.
Oh, no
place.
Kidding! Well, that's going to be an ambitious project. But
have you all broken ground on that yet? I mean, have you started the renovation?
Yeah, we started it. We're trying to get the kitchen open as soon as possible. We're working on the pâtés you used to make. We're working on the soups. You know, just in the style of, you know, I respect the chef forever, you know, and I would never put anything like not.
You're talking
not
Chris now?
His standard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris. Yeah. Yeah, Chris Pitt.
They had come up with one of the best oyster dishes I have ever eaten in my life, and I love oysters like nothing else. And the name of the dish was Oysters Ooh La La.
Oysters Ooh La La. I got to check that out.
And that was one of Chris's.
I think it had crab fat in it. That was John Besh. That was John Besh.
John Besh was there, but John Besh came from our friend Chris.
Yeah, but I think that was in the John Besh tenure.
Well, yeah, but one wouldn't have been what it was without the other.
So you are planning to, I hear, try to get open for private events toward the end of this year, like for the Christmas season, right?
Yeah, we're trying to do that. We're trying to, like, we're going to get it opened up as soon as possible. But there's a lot of things you have to go through with older restaurants, you know, with equipment and, sanitation and all that
stuff.
What
was the building like? Is the building in need of tremendous renovation, or was it kind of okay?
It does need some renovation. It does. It needs TLC, mm-hmm. but it's still a solid building. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do. Our focus.
Yeah,
that's our focus is to keep up the tradition of La Provence, you know, or what it was, you know? I mean, we don't want nobody going in there to, like,
Yeah, you want to stay true. So. All right, we're going to take a break. Can you hang on for a little bit, Pete?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. 260-6368 if you would like to talk to either us or our guest, Pete Kusiv. We will be back. It's 105.3 FM, WWL HD2.
Hello there. Welcome back. It's The Food Show on 105.3 FM, HD2, and a fun bunch of other places that you can maybe find us
Online,
yeah.
MyTuner@radio.com. Okay,
radio.com,
so Pete,
we'll get you there.
You're getting geared up with La Provence. What's it going to be? What are your food operations at La Provence going to be?
I think mostly it's going to be a catering facility with a boutique style restaurant.
Hmm. Oh, you are going to.
That's what we're looking for.
Are you planning to do actual table service there?
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
I thought it was only going to be like a buffet brunch like the one at Lake House on the weekends.
Oh no, that'd be totally wrong.
No, I think we're gonna do a little bit of restaurant style work there. My concentration, to be honest with you, is on the Lake House and making that what it is. But I also have concentration on that as well. We're gonna hire. I think we're looking for a couple French chefs to go in there. But you know, with our influence, 100%. To make sure it keeps the tradition it used to have, you know? So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there. It's happened before. It'll happen again, I hope.
Yeah.
So
it's just a lot of work.
We know that going in. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's all a lot of work. And if you work for Cayman, you're working a lot anyway, because Cayman's just got a million little fingers in pies. Is he still planning to do his barbecue thing?
Yeah, he's still planning for that. That's on the backboard now because La Provence is taking the forefront of it.
Yeah,
but that's
and I guess Nashville
well.
Too, huh?
Well,
I know he was thinking about Nashville too.
Yeah, well, our company's blown up so much. It's like it's almost it's not overwhelming, but it is a hard trick to get enough talented chefs to execute the food properly, you know, in all these different aspects of the business, you know, because we're doing a movie. We're doing two movies right now. We're going to California to this big festival in California in a couple weeks. We have another one. I mean, we do all the Live Nation shows in the Superdome and all those little venues in New Orleans. So it's just a trick. It's like a balancing
act. It's Cayman. He's Cayman. A little magician. Yeah. All right. So the Lake House is open for dinner when?
We're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for a la carte. lunch and dinner. And then
you're open lunch those days?
Yeah, just Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was just dinner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Okay.
No, we do lunch. We do a good lunch on Fridays. It's love to see. You know, I love when I see my old customers from Junior back there, and mm-hmm. you know, just the camaraderie of the community of Mandeville. It's really cool to see these guys back and loving the food. And that's all I really want, you know. I mean, I still have the fire. I've been cooking for a long time, but I've seen these chefs like Sal over Sal and Judy's. I saw him the other day. He's picking beans, you know.
Yeah.
He's still working. He's still getting his
job.
Yeah,
well, he is a one of a kind kind of a guy. He does everything himself. He always has, and as a result, his product is fantastic, and they're always packed.
Well, it's your life's work, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you never get tired of doing your life's work. I'm excited to know that you're open for lunch on Thursday and Friday because I did not know that. So,
yeah.
And of course, you have the buffet on Sunday, which is.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, I know people don't like that. It's a great buffet.
Yeah.
We do a lot of different stuff, and it's people love it, seem to love it, and we keep it up really good. So, but, you know, it's always a trick to get it better and make sure you keep your people coming. I was always taught by my dad that you're only good as your last meal. So be consistent, you know.
That's absolutely
Pete,
true.
How often do you have corned beef on the carving station? Because I love corned beef, and yours is fantastic.
I love making corned beef. That's a Yankee thing right there. But, I mean,
yeah.
I can make that anytime y'all want. But
cure it yourself?
Yeah, we cure it. We actually make our own corned beef. We make our own boudin. We make our own pâtés now. We're making our own tasso. Because we got these huge smokers, like these big, giant Southern Pride smokers that we could take our time and slow roast everything. So we're working on that kind of stuff, too, because if you open up that barbecue place, you're going to have to be top-notch, you know, in this area to be successful.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about the barbecue place because now that smoke is gone, that sort of left a little void. And I knew that Cayman was thinking about it, but I didn't know how serious it was. So you are actually the person who turned me on to corned beef hash, Pete. And I will be eternally grateful to you for that. Yes.
Yeah, she's half Irish.
I love... I love corned beef hash, and I love your corned beef. So do you serve that, like, how often at the Lake House?
We rotate that in every probably month or so. Every
month.
Every
3 weeks.
Yeah,
so I should probably call and see if you're doing... Hey, you have my number. Just if you can remember when you're doing corned beef, text me and say I've got corned beef this weekend. I'd love to come over.
Well, yeah, that's the big thing. Like when we had the coffee shop, I would open up the coffee. I would do this at the restaurant, the coffee shop. I would open up Thanksgiving dinner, and it was like $30. And I invited the whole staff and anybody else who wanted to eat. So we started doing like from 100 people to 200 people. And I did the same thing on Christmas Day. I'd make corned beef hash and eggs for whoever wanted to come in. They got free coffee. Just little traditional stuff, you know. And people love that, you know.
Yeah. They do.
And it keeps
them
coming back. And
I love that buffet. It's like going to a wedding. You've got a big white tent out there, and it's fabulous, especially on a beautiful day that's not too hot. It's just, it cannot be beat. And the price is extraordinary. It's what, still $33, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's still good. It's still good prices, and you get good people that work there and good people that come there. And that's what it's all about, man, making sure people are happy.
Right. This is good to hear, because there's been so much complaining about getting good people to keep everything rolling. But I think we're getting somewhere, and all of these pieces of news you hear about restaurants having a real problem keeping their
servers
tables going because they can't get the employees either. I don't see this that much here and there, of course, but... I think that the restaurant industry right now is in a nice place.
I agree with you 100%.
I'd say so.
Well,
yeah.
All right. So when can we start looking for something from La Provence?
Hopefully early November. Early November.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. That's tomorrow.
We're super, super excited about that.
Tomorrow. Yeah, we're going to work on it, man. I've been up in the kitchen. I've been checking it out, but I think Cayman doesn't want me getting stole away over there. I think he wants me to stay over at the main restaurant. So we'll see what happens there. But no matter what happens there, it's going to be a good place, man. And so I think we'll be doing good. So
all right, I have to ask you one more question before you go, Pete. It is National Bacon Lovers Day. What's your favorite?
You don't like your bacon wobbly, obviously.
No, I love stiff, thick bacon, usually pepper crusted. So what's your favorite bacon, and what's your favorite way to serve bacon?
Well, I do like my thick bacon, too. I like a thick, nice cut of bacon, or even pork belly. I mean, I want to put pork belly on the menu so bad, the next menu. And
well, don't you have it on the menu? I mean, I know you serve it when you have the buffet. Sometimes there's pork belly, huh?
I do, but it's a special time to serve it. I mean, I'm just old school with that, man. I do like thick cuts of bacon, and I like to cook, too. I mean, some people like the wobbly bacon. You can't – it depends. It's so diverse to what we do. Like, if we're cooking for football players or stars, you have to cook things well because they have to act, you know? You can't get them sick. You know, so you have to, there's certain times where you have to cook certain things for certain people specifically for them. So, you know, it's a balancing act, you know, at the restaurant it's more casual. So I like cooking the thicker bacon and, you know, garnishing with it. And we do a lot of stuff with that. And we're experimenting on cooking, you know, curing our own bacon. So we're going to figure that one out.
If you were to get that kind of bacon that you have where it's stiff, whether it's thinner bacon or thicker bacon, you know, the bacon where you can pick it up and eat it like a jerky. Is that cooked in a pan or is that roasted in the oven? How do you get that kind of consistency with a bacon?
There are several ways to do that. You can use ovens. I use a blackening skillet like old school times, you know, especially when I'm doing a la carte. So
And it comes out like that jerky style? It comes out that crisp?
Well, yeah. What I do is I'll make the consistency, make it look pretty, and I'll finish it in a hot convection oven. You know, that's what I do. I don't know if other chefs do that, but there's several ways to do it. You can feed it, I mean, with a low. There's so many ways to cook. It's just to achieve the same, you know, consistency. I do it in the blackening skillet. Yeah, it's endless. I mean, putting gumbo recipes that are out there, and you know, you get really good ones and some really not so good ones.
Yeah. So, Pete, one of my favorite ways to eat bacon is on a buffet and by the pound. Do people
like
eat
kids
as much bacon as I think they do? Because I'm not really even all that embarrassed to consume that much bacon because I think everyone else is eating that too. Is that true?
That is a true story, man. Fat is flavor. Fat is flavor, man. And that's the flavor you're going to get.
Okay. So there are people hitting that bacon buffet as hard as me.
Yes.
I'm afraid so.
Okay.
And lucky them.
Okay.
You know, there's one more scenario here, and it depicts our son Jude standing on top of the table, jumping up and down, and then filling a very large plate with bacon and eating every tiny spread.
I have seen none of these stories, folks, just so you know.
Anyway, thank you
for being with us, Pete. Appreciate it very much. Hope to see you again soon over at the Lake House for buffet.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me come on to talk to y'all, and God bless y'all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, 260-6368 is the number. We are going to be back. You are listening to WWL FM 105.3 HD2.
Hi there. Welcome back. This is the Food Show, and we're not kidding around here. We really mean it. If you want to eat something good, you can maybe find something mediocre, but you can maybe get the full bean and get all of it just the way you want it. And if you're looking for ways to get your cooking to come out a little bit better or to go to restaurants that you like potentially better than you're going to, call us. We're not trying to claim that we have all the answers to all of these things. But we have a feeling that you have a bunch of them, and we'd love to hear those to see what we can get out of you to make our tasting a little bit better. And that's what we're here for, just to be happy a little bit more. And it's called The Food Show. We've only been on for 31 and a half years, and it would be lovely to have you with us a little bit longer. We've got about 20 more minutes to go before we move on out, but we're here every day. So thank you for being there. And who is on the green phone?
No one.
You know, I was...
Wait, is there someone on the phone?
We do have somebody.
Doug, is there... Oh,
Greg,
yeah.
Welcome to the Food Show.
Hello, Greg.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, how are you, man?
Great. How about you?
Good. I just wanted to put you guys, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, you were naming the best, or actually all of the steakhouses in the city.
Did I do that, or did somebody else?
No, we were probably just killing time. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, that sounds like us.
You guys left one out, and I thought I wanted to know your take on La Boca.
All right. Is who?
Oh, La Boca. Yes, La Boca. We did. La Boca.
You know what that was? You didn't listen long enough, because about 20 seconds after I thought of that, everybody left. So, you're absolutely right. That the steaks there are terrific, and they have this huge variety of different cuts.
Yeah, they do.
And also, a lot of this comes from all over the world. In other parts of the world, they eat steaks, and they do it differently from the way we do it here. And that's really interesting, too. So I'm with you on that, totally 100%.
Now, I was going to ask you, too, Marianne, you mentioned Chop House. Do you? What's your opinion on that place?
I've been to the Chop House once in New Orleans, and a couple of times in other places in the country. And I would say that it's okay. I mean, it's not brilliant. I would say that it is a great restaurant in another part of the country, but because it's in New Orleans, it becomes lesser. Does that make sense?
Oh, I know. It's good, but not like you said, it's not going to be something I'm going to go out of my way for.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they do the Pittsburgh style, which is good. The black and blue, the Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. I'm always trying to talk people into that, although I don't use the word Pittsburgh because nobody really knows what that means. But up in Pittsburgh they do, and all up in the Northeast too. You tell them, give me a steak.
Pittsburgh.
Done Pittsburgh style, and you
is that what you call black and blue?
Yeah, black and blue is another name for the same thing, and where you have a crusty outside, juicy in the middle, and you got to know that that's my favorite.
Yeah, it's rare on the inside, crusty on the outside. Yeah. What's your favorite steakhouse, Greg?
I'm gonna have to say Mr. John's.
Okay.
Good choice.
That's a lot of people's favorite.
A lot of people, yeah.
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 It's an interesting-looking place, too. I like the way it looks.
Yeah. Morton's used to be, but that was probably 10, 12 years ago.
That was pre-Landry's. Pre-Landry's.
Yeah.
Kiss
of Death.
They made two separate appearances in New Orleans over the years. When they originally opened, they were more or less where they are now. Excuse me. They were in that shopping center that was later taken over by Landry. And then they shut it down, and then they reopened it some years later in the place where it is now, in the Canal Place. And Marianne and I have been there more than a few times, and we agree that it's a nice restaurant to be in. It's
beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful.
The food is good, not brilliant, but good.
Yeah.
And the prices are a little up there, but you do expect that walking in the front door. So I think we agree on this pretty much.
I think it's mm-hmm. good. It's much less good than it was before Landry's took it over.
Yeah.
Much less good. Anyway, so a lot of good steaks to be had around town. What?
Oh, yeah. A lot of good steaks. The atmosphere at Dickie Brennan's is unreal. I love the way that restaurant. But, again, it's not my favorite steak, but to me, the way it looks. Yeah. I just love walking down the stairs. It's sort of like in a dungeon. You know, I think that's a really nice feel. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I would give them a 10 on, and everything else less so.
Yeah.
Which
I agree.
Is too bad. I hate when that happens, but that's true.
Great speaking with you guys today. That's all I had.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for calling. Nice
260-6368 is the number. It is National Bacon Lovers Day today. Yeah. How much of a bacon lover are you? How much bacon do you eat? We have been scared away from eating a lot of bacon. And
why? Who's scaring you?
The food police scare you away from bacon. And because of that, I never really eat bacon. But boy, if you put it in front of me on a buffet, get away.
Right,
you will see some shocking sights. Go ahead.
I've got a sort of a challenge to you. What is it that makes a steak really good? What are the criteria for this happening?
You know, I think I'm just a weird person to ask because I don't really eat a lot of steaks.
No.
And when I have a steak in front of me, I don't really eat a lot of it.
You know, I'm sorry. My brain went in a left turn.
Right.
I was meaning about the bacon.
I
went down the wrong alley. Sorry.
What is it about bacon that I love?
Yeah, there are qualities of bacon that you can have this quality or not have it, and it really makes a difference.
You're asking me.
Yeah.
Okay. I like bacon to be smoky.
Ding.
I like bacon to be crispy.
Ding.
I like it to be thick. If I have a preference of thick, thick or thin,
ding.
I would prefer thick. Mm-hmm. I like bacon, and this is just if you know we're fantasizing about our ideal bacon. I like pepper crusted bacon.
Ding.
And like bacon to not be greasy. I like it to be. I actually kind of like bacon jerky. That's what I would call it. It's stiff. It's not greasy. It tends to be dry. It's crispy when you eat it. It breaks apart because it snaps. And it's smoky. And I love those things.
Yeah. Well, that'll work for me.
Those were all the right answers? Because it looked like you had a specific list of things that were right answers and wrong answers.
Seems like
I gave you all the right answers.
But once I was in, I forget what, it was one of the chain stores, grocery stores.
Uh-huh.
And they had a house brand of bacon.
Uh-huh.
And I needed some bacon for something I was doing that day. I forget what it was for. I went in there, and even as I was frying it, the idea crossed my mind that this bacon had, first of all, it was sweet.
Oh, salty, too.
It was smoked.
Uh-huh.
And it was... sweet,
salty,
and smoking, and salty. That's
salty,
right.
Yeah.
And you have to have just the right amounts of all of those things.
I don't know about sweet. I don't need to be sweet.
I think it helps.
Well, you like sweet.
Not necessarily like that wonderful thing that they do
I don't like the bastardization of bacon that goes on.
Oh yeah.
Yes, like. Like, I don't like praline bacon.
I was about to say, you know, that was what I was working my way up to.
Praline bacon is gross to me.
Oh,
there are a lot of people that really like it.
Love it, yeah.
And I don't really get why bacon should be that sweet. But, you know, Fogo.
A little bit.
Fogo de Champ has a praline bacon that Mary Lee loves, which surprises me because she's not really all that much into sweets as well, and certainly not a savory thing that becomes sweet. But I really don't like the, like I said, the bastardization of bacon, where bacon is in chocolate, or bacon is in a cake, or bacon is pralined, or any of those things. I mean, I feel like bacon is a meat and should be treated as such. That's just me, you know.
The bastards.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know where that comes from.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Of course I do. Anyway, 260-6368. If you have strong feelings about bacon or even not some, give us a call. Do you love bacon as much as I do? I never, ever eat bacon except at breakfast.
Oh,
And I don't eat it even at breakfast too much. Except at a buffet. And then look out, because we make up for lost time then. I would love to know how much bacon is gone through at a buffet.
Oh.
I don't want to think about it.
Okay, let's
not. I know
not.
Pigs don't want to think about
it. We only have about 11 minutes left here, and we have Chef Andrea to consider.
Yeah, but I don't know that he's here.
I don't know that he's here either.
So we can't consider him if he's not here.
Because,
I'm sure we'll hear the music when he's there, and
yeah.
We'll go ahead and talk to Chef Andrea.
Yeah, see what
anyway, I saw bacon in a pancake the other
bacon
day.
Bacon in a
yes,
pancake?
Yes, I saw bacon.
That's a bad idea.
Bacon bits. In a pancake, and also in the pancake was brown sugar and pecan. So essentially, the bacon was pralined in a pancake. Mm. Now, originally, that idea was appalling to me. And then I tasted it, and I actually thought it was really good. It was like abbreviating all the steps to your breakfast. Mm. It was all in one little thing. All you had to do was eat it. But I wouldn't have put any syrup. I don't eat syrup anyway. But I wouldn't have put any butter on it either, which I would eat on a pancake, because it was kind of like it was all there in one. Bastardization if I ever saw it. Hello, Chef Andrea.
Hi, darling.
How are you?
Fine, sweetheart. Glad to hear your voice. That's wonderful. And
yeah.
I'm always glad to be with you and Tom. And it's a pleasure, honor to be at the show. So thank you for letting me in.
An honor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, that's something that we all ought to get forward to, you know, and
pleasure,
focus in on.
Pleasure, honor, yeah. Yes.
A pressure. Andrea,
it's an honor. It's an honor.
Yeah.
We are going to be over 31, 32 years at the show. I was the first one to be with Tom, and what a pleasure and honor to be with Tom all these wonderful years. And, of course, you came along, which is the wonderful best thing that's happened
to Tom.
That's
what I always say. What a pleasure and honor to be with Tom.
I haven't been able to get rid of him since. Isn't that true?
Okay. Marion, Tom, we have this wonderful wine dinner coming up. Thursday, August 22nd. At 6:30, we're going to have a cocktail. We have this wonderful, this time of the year, Rosé Prosecco. It's a wonderful, light, paellino, little rosé in there. Nice little, wonderful to cocktail to start with. And this is going to be the first introduction for the appetizer. And then we're going to have the appetizer is going to be prosciutto di Parma, in part from Italy. Mm-hmm. And a wonderful, the fresh combination melons between onidu and cantaloupe.
Can I stop you for just a second?
Yes.
Do you ever get San Daniele?
That's what I have, Tom.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Carry on.
That's what I have.
Never mind.
Yeah, I come from Parma, and it's wonderful, wonderful prosciutto. It's one of the top in the world. There are quite a few prosciutto around, you know, as you know. Some different country does, but this prosciutto, it's wonderful, really outstanding. And we have that, you know, Andrea, since we opened the door. It's a wonderful delicacy of Italy. The second,
but is it Mamma Mia? Is it Mamma Mia?
It's
really Mamma Mia.
Okay.
The second, we do a homemade fresh tortellini. Mm. Tortellini, it's like a cappuccino. The hut of the monk, and that's called tortellini capriccio. Capriccio is a whim. I came up with the recipe when I came to America, and it's a wonderful, wonderful guanciale. Guanciale is pancetta, smoked pancetta, and tossed together with a little touch of dry shallots, a little touch of garlic, and then we saute with a little touch of olive oil, and then we put a little touch of the piece in there, a little touch of white wine, a whipping cream, reduction down, and then we toss together al dente, tortellini, parmesan cheese, the Reggiano Parmigiano in part from Italy on top. Absolutely. Mamma mia.
Yeah.
And that comes with a Pinot Grigio. It's a wonderful Pinot Grigio Ducale. It's one of my favorite too. The entree of a choice, we have a wonderful beef bracciolone, my grandmother, bracciolone. Mm. Or you can have a beautiful, fresh American red snapper, crazy water a la qua pazza.
Or
it's a bit demanding of the guest request that I do a roast leg of lamb, contadino. Contadino is a farmer, translated in English, and it's a stuffed with garlic, rosemary, and Italian parsley. We roast a whole leg of lamb, and then nice and juicy. And we served that with a wonderful, great garlic mashed potato. And then for dessert, we have the lemon tart al limone. Limone and lemon tart come from Capri. This is a white tart with fresh lemon. And it's a very specialty of the one of my favorite restaurants in Capri, Da Paolino. Paolino, you read underneath the lemon trees in Capri when you go there. It's one of the best in the world. It is absolutely this wonderful torta al limone, mamma mia. And that comes with the Moscato d'Asti Rufino. These wines that come from Republic, they come all over the north part of Italy. The meal is $50 plus tax and gratuity. This Thursday, please, we'd love to have you. If you can, in the area, Marianne, Tom, you enjoy being join us this wonderful occasion on this
Thursday, the 22nd.
Food and great wine.
22nd. Okay.
22nd. Yeah,
we'd love to have you.
All right.
Well, and it sounds good, and we'll, who knows? It could happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give it the phone number.
Of course, we have a culinary going still. Yeah. The three-course meal for $35, so we'd love to have you. So come and join us.
Well, you've picked the perfect time to come here because we have now run out of every kind of time we had. but we're going to give up for right now and go right back to doing it with another edition of The Food Show darn near every day. So we'd love to hear
from
you.
We have a break. Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. No, we
Gregory.
Have a break.
We need a break.
Wait, is Gregory on?
Pardon.
Wait, do we have a break, Doug, or Gregory?
Oh, okay. Gregory, welcome.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, Marianne. Hello, Tom.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello, I'm here.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I didn't realize how late it was. Listen, I love that, Andrea. Mamma mia. Listen, a really good culinary. Hold on. Just real quick, I went to a culinary lunch today. I mean, this place is like a gem because it's not a private club. It's a public place. It's the City Park Golf Club called Fillmore. It's at Bayou Oaks, right there at Marconi, you know, and Fillmore.
Listen, I didn't know that.
You wouldn't believe the lunch specials they have there. Anyway, for $20, that's their lunch, and you get 25-cent martinis, too. They have a choice of, they had a redfish almondine, they had a 11-inch ribeye, which was delicious, that's what I got, and then they had a chicken, like a roasted chicken dish. Comes with a wedge salad or a gumbo, and then your choice is like three desserts, $20 at Bayou Oaks, the Fillmore in Bayou Oaks, the City Park. Tom, it was delicious. I was blown away, and what a beautiful day. It was supposed to be all stormy. I was watching all the golfers, and
it really was a beautiful day today.
Huge windows right on the, you know, you could see the lagoons on one end and see the golfers on the other, and terrific service too, by the way. So that
Gregory, is this the place that used to be the city park golf club?
That's it, the municipal golf course, right?
Huh.
Now it's called Fillmore at Bayou Oaks.
Okay.
And you wouldn't believe how beautiful City Park is.
It is beautiful. It is. It really is.
I mean, everybody, just take an hour or two to get out of your busy day and just spend any spot at City Park. You don't have to go to the golf club and have a meal. Just go to City Park. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. It's get a snowball.
That's fantastic.
That's what I did last time
I was
there.
And they have those, too.
They do indeed, and they take credit cards. I imagine that.
Well, listen, I just wanted to get my big mouth onto y'all's show today. All right.
Oh, well, you're always welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Gregory.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Well, that was a great way to end the show, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm puzzled, but I'm going to look into that. Yeah, I've been hearing about that Fillmore place, but I didn't realize that's where it was. So I guess the City Park Golf Restaurant, or whatever that was called, where we went to a wedding. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous wedding. I love that place. Love it, love it, love it. I'm glad to see that there's a... Because the food was not great before. And the surroundings were absolutely fabulous, but the food was not great.
Except if you were at a wedding.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I do.
Way up to the north.
So it's like Magazine. You're talking about Magazine. Where? No, it's not there.
No.
Okay, well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see where it is.
Here's
anyway,
City Park.
Okay. We are out of time. So everyone have a wonderful evening. Have a great meal. If you are going to the Queen concert, I'm jealous. Have a great time there.
Yep.
My FOMO meter is gyrating. Gyrating, I tell you. WWL 105.3 FM HD2. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.